Welcome to the Illegal Tactics Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Serrano. I'm joined with you live in the studio, in his new studio, in the back of his apartment in Queens. It's the fivest, the burrowiest, the foodiest foodie that I know, Alex Obed. How you doing today, buddy?
Tremendous. I'm knocking over my garbage can right now, sorry.
Very nice. Look at those high ceilings.
Yeah, how's your week and your week of professional wrestling?
Oh, my week's been wonderful. The week of professional wrestling has been great. You know, Fyter Fest week two, it's fun to watch. Even when wrestling's getting to you because you're being too much of a dirty fucking smark, it's just so fun to watch and hate. And even when you're hating on it, you're like, I'm being such a loser for hating on this. Like, it's just entertainment.
Exactly.
Like, get a grip.
It's just a TV show. It's not real.
I'm writing notes. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
But
get
you know,
a hold of yourself, man.
It's a named Dynamite week, so we can jump right into Fyter Fest week two.
And another one next week.
Okay.
Let's go!
About what? Elias just got himself disqualified.
I mean, you didn't say anything about Jason Jordan outside running all around using illegal tactics. You didn't say anything.
What's the one next week of the Fight for the Fallen or something?
I think it's Fight for the Fallen.
But with
it
marine
might
animals
even
or something.
Be something else before Fight for the Fallen too.
Well, you know, Fyter Fest week two in Hotlanta opens up with this grudge match with Brody King and Darby. But, you know, I mean, I guess before we jump into everything, your thoughts on the whole show in its entirety, I guess, before we break everything down.
A really fun and easy to watch show. Complaints included. Like, you can sit there and complain about booking, but for some reason, this time, like, that was part of the fun to me. And just, like, it was just, like, a fun show beginning to end. And, like, all of it, it had enough wrestle crap. It had enough good matches. It had enough stars on it. It was just fun to watch, you know, front to back for me.
No, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I have a lot of complaints a lot of times for AEW, but it's only because I care so much. But I'm going to try and care a little less and just try and enjoy the ride. For what it's worth, whatever Tony Khan is booking up in the back. But, yeah, Brody King versus Darby. Please, kick it off.
I want to know, why is Brody, out of all the people in House of Black, getting the most screen time? Like, he should not be getting the most screen... Like, no offense to him, but he can't cut a promo. Buddy Matthews can't cut a promo. Julia Hart can't cut a promo. There's one person there who can cut an amazing promo. It's Malakai Black. He's the leader. He should be getting the most Dynamite time. That's what I mean by screen time. I'm talking Dynamite time. Why is Malakai Black relegated to Rampage and Brody is getting big spots on Dynamite 2 weeks in a row? Like, come on. Like, what's going on? And then, also, Darby, one of your pillars, just jobbing out every time. Like, he's a pillar, but he just comes out to job. Like, I get it. Darby can take a loss. Does he have to take every loss?
He does take every loss.
To set up a Sting match? What? You could have done... He's fighting a heel. You could have set up the Sting match in his victory. He could have gotten a fluke victory, quote-unquote, over Brody King. And then Brody's like, wow, I'm a bad guy that's part of a faction that comes out of the dark. We can all just come out of the dark and attack Darby, and that'll just summon Sting the same way. Like, they just booked this at the end so backwards to me, with, like, Sting coming out after, like, a little bit of an unnecessary post-match beatdown, and then Malakai coming out after. I like the miss, though. Anytime, I don't know, they built up Malakai's miss so well that you see someone significant like Sting get misted, it's like, what is this going to lead to? Are we going to get new Sting face paint? Could be interesting.
Well, you know, I hope that's not the highlight of what comes out of this feud. But, you know, it's kind of like what we said it before when they face each other for, like, the Royal Rampage, where it's like, obviously, Darby is your star. He's ridiculously over. You can hear it in the crowd, even for that match. Like, is it too much to ask to send the crowd home happy by putting your popular star Darby over. Like I said, so far he's 2-0, and yeah, sure, that's part of his gimmick to get fucking ragdolled around and take the L. And but you know, like you said, like he could have won in like a scrappy way, you know, a scrappy roll up, and then the same effect. You know, maybe even it feels bigger because, again, why is Brody going over? But then I try and think of it myself, like, what if Tony Khan texted me and was like, hey, we're actually putting Brody in a big spot in the next 6 months, so we're trying to get him ready. Then I'd be like, okay, this kind of makes sense. But I definitely do agree that it's like, why isn't Malakai the focal point? Because he's, like, your biggest star in House of Black by, obviously, because he's the biggest draw, the biggest name. But maybe they're just going to relegate him to, like, a fucking manager. I don't know. But with that, all of that being said, you know, Brody King, this guy obviously has, like, a tremendous upside. And, like, he's just, like, a really good worker. I really enjoyed this match, and I loved his and Darby's chemistry.
I agree, and I will say that Brody has the best cannonballs in the biz today by far, by a country mile. I mean, and he has a cool look. His voice in his promos just doesn't fit for me, and it throws me off. But hey, I mean, if they're going to put him in a big spot, they're going to put him in a big spot. I don't think they're going to put him in a big spot, so you're just jobbing out your fucking pillar for nothing.
That's
but
so true.
Hey, I live to be proven wrong. I love it. So
for sure.
And but, we're going to get Wolfpack Sting next week because he got missed in his face. So let's go. That's what I'm waiting for.
I love the story that they told. The chops on Brody were so fucking crazy. And it's just, you know, Goth David versus Goliath. They literally beat the hell out of each other.
Goth David and versus, like, Goliath. I love that. Except that David is supposed to win. Okay.
Also, then Miro just comes out at the end.
And then the Redeemer, full face Redeemer comes out, right? Like, this is like a pure face turn, if you ask me. The way he comes out, the crowd reaction, the Maverick sunglasses. This guy's ready to save the day. And then he just stands there. And I'm just like, dude, just rush the ring and scare away the heels. Like, this is... You don't have to overthink this. This is very simple storytelling. I'm like, this isn't a movie. This is a wrestling show. Just rush the ring and scare away the heels. I don't know what is going on in Tony Khan's mind where he's like, we have to do everything different from WWE, but stop. Rush the ring. Air away the heels. You're just letting these bad guys stare at Miro and stare over, like, the lifeless bodies of Sting and Darby. When if Miro's out there to threaten them and save these other guys, he should threaten them and save Sting and Darby, not just stand there awkwardly.
It was very strange to see him. But he did have an eye patch on. I don't know if you noticed that. His eyes been kind of, you know.
Did he get misted?
I think he got misted, and then the last couple weeks on the promo, he's been hiding that side of his face. So when he came out, it was very, very hard to see. I had to get really close to. I was like, I couldn't tell.
I see. I know they were saying something about it on commentary, but I couldn't understand, you know, with how fast Excalibur be talking sometimes. So, moving on. What'd you think of, you know, Mox and Yuta versus the Best Friends?
Well, you know, I'm a big Chuckie T mark. I feel like the closest people to me know that, you know. But, you know, I said it a couple weeks ago, again, that I think that Moxley's new gimmick, I think I figured it out, you know, is just bumping shoulders with the rest of the roster, you know, putting guys over till Punk comes back. You know what I mean? And I think, for what it's worth, it was a great role tonight for him to just, again, rub shoulders with Yuta. The BCC kind of helps promote ROH, the pure title in the pay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. So many pile drivers. And there's like this one spot where there was like five pile drivers in a row, which was, you know, it was great. And then Yuta got a buttery seatbelt roll-up for the win. That was cool to see him kind of work. I don't know if I'm going to watch the pay-per-view live, but I definitely will. If I hear good things about if the Yuta-Garcia match is just, I can't miss it, then that's probably the only match that I'll probably watch out of that. What about you?
Yeah, that definitely seems the most enticing. I think that BCC and Best Friends could actually have an interesting, like, mini feud if it lasted just like a few weeks, ended on like a name dynamite, something like that. And I actually enjoyed Orange Cassidy on commentary. I thought he was pretty funny, the way he reacted to certain shit. I remember Excalibur was like, correct me if I'm wrong, about like getting trained by some, you know, luchador or something in Mexico City, and he's like, okay. just no sells everything. But then at the very end, after that seatbelt roll up, Orange Cassidy, like, he's just like, Chuck taught him that roll up, and then just like threw his headset off and like stormed off. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, the hate for Wheeler is still there, and I like that.
I totally forgot about that. I remember thinking that spot was like, I was like, whoa, he just stormed off of commentary. That was a little strange, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. This definitely could be a good feud. And like I said, with Moxley not having that much time with the belt, this could be something, you know, kind of elevating Orange Cassidy and the best friends from just being kind of just like the jabroni tag team, Gaga, Goo Goo gimmick, whatever.
Yeah. Especially with like the way they're pushing Orange Cassidy now, even though they dropped him out to Wardlow, who just wasn't on TV this week and isn't announced. Like, Jesus.
He's a fighting champion, you know? He wants to make it the most important title, the TNT title.
Yeah, I saw more Scorpio Sky.
But before we get too far away from, well, I mean, I guess we'll circle back to Ring of Honor. But the next thing that was on my TV that I wanted to ask you about is Claudio is going to be facing Jonathan Gresham for the Ring of Honor world title. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Fans of technical wrestling, unite and watch this match. I'm good. What are your thoughts?
Well, no,
Claudio is gonna make this guy look so tiny. This is a legit WWE wrestler versus
true.
Jonathan Gresham, the biggest guy at the playground.
Well, you know, I don't
kill me, Jonathan Gresham. Jonathan Gresham could stretch me out, by the way. Like, that guy knows like 2004 holds. All right. Like, this is going to throw me in an octopus, but
you know, I stand corrected. I definitely might watch this pay-per-view just for these two matches, cuz I know this is going to be a great wrestling match.
Yeah.
I thought it would be interesting to see, cuz there was that interview with Tony Khan where he said that he brought Claudio in a little early for this whole BCC thing, cuz his original plans for him was just to have him in Ring of Honor. Did you remember that?
Yes, I did. And honestly, that would have been such a waste. So thank you, Brian Danielson, for getting injured once again. You've done so much with your fragile body.
Hey, you know, BCC could be walking out next week with all the gold. You know, the Ring of Honor world title, the Pure title, and the AEW title. So that could be a big look.
That's what I'm always saying, is that people in AEW, they need more titles. we need to see more titles during entrances. So that would be really good.
Especially for Claudio, you know? It's been a long time since we've seen him have a title.
Yeah, some would say we've never even seen him with one.
Oh, I remember.
We are the bar!
Speaking of the bar and tag team wrestling, the next thing was the tag team celebration for new AEW World Champs,
Lee,
tag team champs.
With the Itachi drip?
Yeah, please tell me your thoughts.
And popping out of my damn seat. I was like, oh, that's like a cool like black and red sweatshirt to match Swerve. Oh my god, it's Itachi! I was like, this guy is such a mark for
straight
anime,
out of the freaking Tampa
like
Mall,
me.
Dude. Just freaking picked it up.
You know he got that from some random Instagram ad, alright? Like that's how you get stuff like that. But
you
man,
know,
so good.
I can't
the promos were great. They're so over. Like, people will just start chanting, you know, bask in his glory. And if Swerve is just like, the way he was just like, oh, like they're just only cheering for you, he's like, what about this, like, whose house? And the entire place of like 15,000 people are like, Swerve house. Like, damn, dude. My main thoughts on this entire segment is that Kevin Gates is a legit rapper. Like, this guy is like a legit popular rapper amongst like young people, so that's very impressive that they got
him there.
Never
heard of him, but carry on.
And he snuffed the shit out of Tony Nese. Like, I don't think he knows how to throw a worked punch, so they were just like, just punch Tony Nese in the face. He just punched him in the fucking mouth. It was so funny. He's like, bah! It popped so hard. And then the cake to the face, like, love it. Love the wrestle crap, man. So over. Great promos, great segment. Had a good time.
At the end of the day, you know, Keith Lee and Swerve, even though it was kind of thrown together and it, the match spoke for itself. They're over, you know, just kind of like you're saying. And at least at this point, now we finally get a chance to get them on the mic now that they have the fucking titles. You know what I mean? Because apparently they literally can't get on TV without them, you know? But, you know, we're finally here. Let's see where it goes. And now they can finally start building the two of them. Because, you know, there's no fucking rules here in AEW. And then they're still trying to do that fucking petition thing for, I think they set it up for like a Rampage or something. But
yeah.
It's like kind of like a reset of the tag division right now. You know, it's kind of like with the whole Hardys, Young Bucks thing. It's kind of like, all right, let's try and figure something out. Let's get further away from that.
Yeah, and that's for the best. And I hope, I mean, honestly, if they get worried, they can always just run back Swerve in My Glory versus Team Taz. And you have like 3 weeks to 6 weeks of great TV, great promos, and great matches. Easy. Oh,
please easy. Run that for All Out. I would love that.
Yeah. Like, why not? Like, do something in between and then run it for All Out. It makes the most sense to me. And they just do great. And honestly, it's good training for somebody like Hobbs. You know? It gets him to work with a smaller guy and a bigger guy. So, I don't see why not. And he's with three people who are great on the mic. So it only raises his caliber as somebody that you want to grow and make better.
Yeah,
but obviously you want him to mix him up with more people. Next segment, I believe, speaking of getting, you know, young talents to grow.
Or big guys and little guys.
Big guys and little guys. I mean, these are just all little guys, honestly. We have the meat man himself, Johnny Hungy. Meeting up with his buddy Reynolds that nobody cares about. I mean, like, the ultimate nobody in AEW with the Butcher and the Blade, and they give them a gift. Shirts that just say Butch on them. Now this is foreshadowing for when Butch is going to join AEW.
When Butch joins the Dark Order. God, jeez.
I popped so hard for these Butch shirts. I don't know why. I thought it was the funniest thing. Hungy just knows how to sell it.
Yeah, but your thoughts, did you pop for Hangman? Again?
No.
Coming in for the save?
No. I'll never pop for Hangman.
What are they doing?
Coming in for the
him?
Save of the Dark Order. He just seems like, he's like, I'm the savior of the jobbers. Like, why? Like, that's not what Stone Cold did, or The Rock, or John Cena, or any champion of significance ever.
Well,
ever.
My question to you is, where do you have, obviously this can go in a million different ways, but, you know, off the top of your head, what is something, a program, a feud, a match that can actually get you interested in Hangman by All Out?
He should kick somebody out of the BCC.
What?
He should, yeah, that would be interesting. Know.
Kick somebody out?
Yeah, like, take their spot.
Like who?
Fight them for their spot. Dude, like, if Moxley didn't have the title, like, Moxley. If Bryan Danielson was there right now, Bryan Danielson. Somebody like that.
What about something realistic? If there's nothing, that's okay. If you're not interested in any Hangman Adam Page program, that's fine. Because he literally went from having the title from, you know, challenging Okada, and then now is, you know, saving the Dark Order with Ty.
I wasn't interested in him when he had the title anyway. So, what would get me interested in him? I don't know, man. I'd have to go look at the roster and see if there's anything. Maybe he could wing a Malakai Black sort of feud and run through that crew if he stopped wearing tie-dye. Maybe he doesn't have to stop wearing tie-dye. Maybe the tie-dye would work in a Malakai Black feud, honestly. But he needs to get away from the Dark Order. But that could be, if he developed alcoholism again, I think would be really good.
Just full circle,
so,
I guess.
Malakai Black plus alcoholism, I think, would be the move. Because then the House of Black starts, like, preying on him and his, like, weaknesses. They're like, you're just a drunk, nobody, loser. And he's like, the alcohol gives me power, lariat! Like, that'd be lit, you know?
Yeah.
What about you? What would get you interested in Hangman?
Well, I don't have an answer for that question. That's why I was wondering. So we can move on to the next thing. Sad. You know? What is it? Christian and Luchasaurus Kane versus the Varsity Blondes? Eh?
I mean, okay, so the match was 2 minutes, but that's not the point of this segment, right? The point of this segment is that they gave up on Luchasaurus Kane. It's been like, what, 2 weeks?
I guess you could say that. You could say that,
and they gave up on Luchasaurus Kane, which was amazing. Like, Luchasaurus Kane was, like, one of the coolest segments of, like, the last 2 to 3 weeks, and they just gave up on it. And they brought back Jungle Boy and didn't change anything about him. He's still Jungle Boy. He has the same music, and he's just wearing, like, regular clothes, and he doesn't even walk cool. He walked scared. And then Christian ran away. Oh, God, this fucking sucked. This sucked on every level possible. I was like, wow. Wow, this is like every bad decision possible and then executed poorly by Jungle Boy. Great. Wonderful. And like if you're going to chase Christian, like slow down so that it doesn't look like you're about to catch him.
Bro,
because
he was,
I was like,
right,
just catch him,
bro.
He
was so,
yeah, I was like,
so close.
I was like, you caught up, so just tackle him now because you did it. You know, you're like, come on.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, it all happened so fast that I didn't really get a chance to really reflect on it. Like, you know, that's a really good point. But yes, the return of, well, just, I was going to say Jungle Jack Perry. That would have been sick if they started calling him that. He had kind of scruffle, but like, yes.
Not enough.
He did kind of hobble down to the ring, and then it was very strange how Luchasaurus was just like, oh, you know, you're back. Okay. You know? I don't know. I don't know.
Been like,
at first, I initially thought that when he sided with Jungle Boy, then Jungle Boy went to the ring. I thought that Luchasaurus was going to, you know, blindside him and kind of that
too.
Was going to be the thing, which, you know, that would have
been fine. And then send them away for another 3 weeks, and then they can get the entrance right.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Like, I mean, I guess it's pretty much penciled in for All Out, but that is kind of far away, you know, whether that's, like, 6 weeks away or something like that, 5 weeks of TV.
This was egregious. This was disgusting. This is, like, the worst thing on the show, by far. This is such a waste of the last 3 weeks. Changing Luchasaurus's gear and presentation. This is a waste of every awful thing that Christian has said. This is stupid.
Could
like,
be.
Jungle, all they had to do was give Jungle Boy some new gear, call him Jungle Boy Jack Perry, or just Jack Perry, and like change his look a little bit. Make him look a little more badass and manly. Like, damn, I can't just be a fucking Tarzan cosplayer anymore, because I've been betrayed by everybody around me. Even the dinosaur doesn't like me anymore. I need to be something different, something stronger, something meaner, something better, something colder. God damn. Because nobody respects me like this. And now I really don't respect. He comes back hobbling. He was like basically limping, and he looked nervous. Like, he just looked like a scared little boy. I was like, you need a hug? What happened? Where's your dad? You need to find him in the grocery store? Oh, he's dead? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn.
I am very curious to see what happens next week. Because, yes, if he shows up next week, it's all the same, all fun and games. But you know, I kind of have faith that he'll kind of change something a little bit. Because, like,
I don't.
If you have Jungle Boy return, right, you can't, to new music, no one's going to know what that is. You know, so you got to have at least like the initial pop. So like next week he could show
fine.
Up with new music, the new look thing. Yeah, I could totally see. We'll see what happens.
They were in you just play some random music and people are like, "Who's that? What is it? Can it be? It is. It's Jack Perry."
That's true.
You know,
and it says Jack Perry on the Titantron. I think people
would
pick up on it pretty fast. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And also, it's AEW. People pop for everything. They pop for everything. They hear some music they don't know. They're going to be like, oh my God, debut. Oh, debut. Oh my God. It's been like 3 weeks since the last debut. When did Claudio get here?
like you said, you know, this is where the money is in Jungle Boy versus Christian. We can only hope.
Where the money was. Now let's move on to where the money is. Dax the Axe. That's where the money is. This guy's over as fuck. This guy cuts the meanest promo in the goddamn biz. When he said, I'm gonna fight like an 8-year-old girl and beat your ass, I got chills down my spine, dude. This guy is so cool. I want to write a comic book about this guy. With his mustache and his bald head and his name Dax. Come on.
Dax the Axe. You know, Dax the Axe. You know, FTR versus the Briscoes. The rematch at the ROH pay-per-view. You know, maybe I will watch this pay-per-view, you know, because these matches are going to be kind of fire, maybe.
And
know?
Two out of three falls. Like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, this was just what it was. To put over the pay-per-view, it's like, they have the titles. They're the most over tag team, arguably, in the business right now. And, yeah, that little girl promo that he had about his daughter, like, it, you could literally hear a pin drop when everyone's just like waiting for the fucking, I was gonna say punchline, but there's no punchline there, but it's like, you know,
that's my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was great. It did what it was supposed to do. And,
you know what it reminded me of though? It reminded me of the beginning of Stranger Things season 4. Spoilers for Stranger Things season 4. Skip 15 seconds ahead or 30 seconds. When the basketball captain does his first opening speech, and he's like, all the people that died in that mall fire would want us to win this game.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Just like channeling like tragedy to like, I have to win my next sporting event.
Yeah, for sure. You know? It was like so intense for like a Ring of Honor tag team title match.
Yeah, like, exactly. Right. Like a 2 out of 3 falls. But then when he said, I'm going to fight you like an 8-year-old girl and I'm going to beat your ass, I was like, oh, you're so cool. I'm going to kiss you on your stupid mouth and your mustache, Dax. God damn.
Anyway, great stuff. Watch the ROH pay-per-view, guys. You have any thoughts on the FTW Open Challenge with Pretty Ricky?
Oh yeah, Pretty Ricky. I love how JR just goes about just renaming people. He's like, you know what name would be better than what they thought up? Pretty Ricky.
It's a good one, though.
It is.
Who is this guy? Who is he facing? Cole Larger? What's his name?
Caleb Knowles? I don't know.
Something like that. Who is this guy, you know?
Some nobody, probably from, like, Dark Elevation. That's
he
okay,
looks
you know?
Like, you know, creator a wrestler. Created character. Yeah, like, yeah. Like, the smoothness of his body mixed with his haircut and his tights that just has his last name on the back. I was like, oh yeah, I've definitely made this guy before.
He looks like a tough enough like entrant, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was super quick because most of it was during the commercial break. And then I love how Ricky's like, I'm feeling good. I want to do another match. Like, let's do it in Taz on commentary. He's like, wait, I don't know about that. Like, what are you doing? And then Danhausen, his music hits. He comes out, like, almost pop of the night. Like, people are like, holy shit, this vampire is going to get a goddamn match. Let's go. He's getting a title match. Let's go. This is fucking nuts. And then Pretty Ricky is just like, oh, I mean, I didn't mean tonight. I was like, I love this guy. He's such a classic heel. He's like, I didn't mean tonight. I mean, like next week. He's like, I'm like sore, you know? Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, perfect. And yeah, so next week we're getting Pretty Ricky versus Danhausen. I couldn't be more excited. Me versus Chris in the ring next week.
That's true.
Our avatars, our stands.
I'm totally down with this, with, you know, he's had the FTW title for a year. Why not have him defend it? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's the perfect thing that you can just elevate whoever new jobber this is. But then also they are starting to tell a story with Danhausen. I don't know how long it's going to go, but you know, two guys that are over that are going to be wrestling on free TV. So I'll be watching as always.
Do you think him beating up, you think, so he has a match with Danhausen. You think instead of pinning him, he starts, like, bullying and beating up Danhausen, and then Hook comes out for the save, and then it's a Hook-Starks feud for the FTW champion, because that would be something.
That would be something. Confirmed.
That would be, like, something.
But I mean, yes.
It'd be almost too much something, honestly.
Yeah, then... I mean, I'm not ready for FT, the, you know, for Team Taz to disintegrate like that, you know? Because then you put, you know, Luchasaurus Hobbs in the back, and he doesn't know where to go, whether it's Hook
or, does he join? Taz
or, you know, Ricky.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if they I haven't booked this yet, but they also, like, they should be featuring Team Taz as a unit more again, you know?
Yeah, and they have been, at least just with Hobbs and Stark, but now they have to do it even more. Especially, I feel like, there was a time when Hobbs and Starks were just on Rampage and they weren't doing much, and they almost came across as goofy because of that, and that Hook was, like, so much cooler than them. It's not like that anymore. Yeah, you can definitely have the three of them together now. Especially with Taz. And now Taz is even more prominent. He's doing the first hour of commentary now that JR is only doing the second hour of commentary. Like, dude, Team Taz is on the up and up ever since, you know, I started putting over Ricky Starks big time. Ever since this podcast started.
Team Taz 6 months ago?
Yeah, it's been zooming up and up. They got off a Rampage, you know, and they're Dynamite boys now.
Yeah, I mean, I could only hope that there could be some Hook nonsense next week. Because it only, like it's right there, you know? Everything is laid out for them to do, to tell, even if it's a mini-story, with Team Taz and Danhausen. So, we'll see what happens, Tony.
We will.
Speaking of Tony, you know.
It's Tony time!
Or just, it's like, Tony, you know, time. The women's segment. Well, maybe
the
not
women's
Tony
block. the women's block.
Well, I did
Tony
like
Khan
this one
women's
thing.
Block.
I want to say that, you know, Athena did a great job by telling us, the viewer, that she's like, Chris Statlander, you go for the women's title, and I'll go for the TBS title. So I was like, perfect. Now at least there's some sort of thing that I can kind of hold on to, because it's just a whole bunch of blah nonsense.
And then third girl, jobber.
Yeah. And then there was... Oh, yeah, Jay did beat Willow Nightingale for whatever this was. Yeah, who knows what happened to the other baddie.
Willow Nightingale is a really good name of, like, a fictional book character. Sorry.
I don't know about that. It's not over with me. But, yeah, even with the whole, you know, Thunderstorm backstage, Thunder Rosa versus the Japanese Yamashita, whoever... Somebody from Stardom, apparently, who beat her on untelevised TV.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know. And then the dentist is back, again, interrupting the same segment over and over. I have no idea why they're doing this to Thunder Rosa. You know, like...
I know.
You could do so much better.
Promos. She's struggling on promos, and then you have Britt Baker coming and be like... Oh my god, your promo sucks! And I'm just like, oh my god. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine
talking
about promos, and you have somebody that's really good at promos coming and, like, start bullying you on live TV for how bad you are at it?
But, like, where's There's so many stories that you could do. I mean, I think, maybe not anymore. I have no fucking idea, but I would assume that there's better things to do for Thunder Rosa than... whatever she's been doing. Ever since she's beaten Britt Baker, it's just been
nothing. There's better stories than nothing? Probably.
Absolutely nothing. It's crazy.
I can't. What match has she had besides Nyla Rose and Britt Baker? I think she's had
a Tony Storm match with them, but now they're tag team partners.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Thunderstorm. Yeah, like, why is the women's champion a tag wrestler? Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. The other thing, Jamie Hayter, for every single Britt Baker promo, just stands next to her and mimes everything. It is so uncomfortable sometimes. I really like Jamie Hayter. I think she's funny, but she just mimes everything. She's like, I just don't get it. For those that can't see, I'm miming like Jamie Hayter does. Just go watch a Jamie Hayter promo. Or a Britt Baker promo, rather, and you'll see what Jamie Hayter does.
For real. I just wish Tony Khan would fucking pull the trigger on this Chris Statlander. Just give her the title. I don't even know, you know, even if they did give the title and it's the same shit like this, you know, I don't know. But at least it'll
be
something.
At least it'd be trying something. Yeah. Stop being so obsessed with long title reigns.
And like why, like they just been having Chris Statlander like start stop. You know, when she finally starts getting going, it's just like, oh, you're off TV. Oh, you're only doing a promo. You know, with Athena. Like, who cares? Oh my God, it's like,
I mean, for even a wrestling if she does show, get the title, is she going to be on TV?
Yeah, but we'll never know.
Two minutes at 9:25.
Yeah, we can't. We can only hope that it's more than that because they have the ability to do something else with the women's divisions. It's just so bad. But anyway, we can jump into the main event. Any other thoughts on Dynamite or AEW before we talk about barbed wire everywhere?
Let's get into this main event. I loved Jericho's stupid little mask and his stupid little makeup. I think he's so cute. I think he's so funny.
The Painmaker is over in AEW. They kept saying he's undefeated. Like, oh my God. They're just 2-0. Freaking. And then Ruby is the key keeper, the controller of the lift. All right.
Ruby's an idiot. Why would you... Like, hire clearly the most incompetent person to be the key keeper. Like, she got taken down by Ty and Anna Jay. Like, any woman worth a title in AEW could fend off Ty and Anna Jay, okay? Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm, Chris Statlander could do that handicap match, all right? They can take on both of those people, 1v2. Easy. She would hit them with the key thing and protect the shark cage. But Ruby Soho, not built like that.
No, you know, she also miraculously puts her arm in the way of car doors to get slammed into it, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Again, it was cool to see them all factioned up last week, but again, like, it kind of just, what was the point of her doing all this if she was just gonna, it doesn't matter. The match itself was what it was. I like that it was fast-paced, bloody action. I didn't like that this feud is probably not over yet, you know? Because I thought this was going to be the blow-off feud in a shark cage and all that stuff. And it's cool that you have Anna Jay turning heel after, like, you know, they kind of did some sort of storytelling over the last couple weeks with this, with Anna Jay coming back and, you know, talking with Ty. And I guess there's room for her in the Jericho Appreciation Society, I guess, you know? But it's
why not? Sure.
Like, sure, there's room in it, but it's like, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to see Kingston feud with Jericho with shenanigans. I don't know. I thought it would have been cool to have Kingston go over, but... Because he looked ready for this match, you know? Like, he had his arms all taped up, and he just went, like, on-site with the fucking barbed wire microphone.
That was the best part of the match. He just grabbed the microphone right out of Justin Roberts' hands, start beating Jericho in the head mid-announcement of his name. That was so cool. It was so hardcore. I loved that. And then Aubrey was like, no, stop. I'm like, do you know what type of match this is? Get out of the shot!
Yeah.
Get out of the shot, Aubrey!
I don't know where this goes. You know, with the end, you know,
she literally had a bigger reaction to that, I'm sorry, than... to a bunch of people getting out of the shark cage and swarming Eddie Kingston.
She also couldn't get the shark cage open, so they just literally slipped through the giant bars.
They had a good backup plan. In case you can't get this open, you can all slip through.
And then, is that how it ended? I know that the Ortiz and the PCC came out.
Yeah, and then everybody's... going through it. Well, Sammy came out.
Oh, yes. That's the finish.
And then, set up Eddie for the, whatchamacallit, Judas effect. And then that's how it ended. Yes. You know, because nobody kicks out of the Judas effect. And the Painmaker is now 3-0. But then Eddie just, like, tossed Jericho into, like, the barbed wire spider web. And it ended with just a close-up of Jericho bloody screaming in pain. He was like, ah! I loved that. I was like, what a great close-up. Just so much blood on his face, and he's just screaming. And you know that pain's legit. That's not acting. There's a bunch of barbed wire in his body.
Yeah, that blood is real, brother. For sure.
That's hard style.
But, you know, all in all, not a bad episode of Dynamite, you know? I think that there's...
Even with all the complaints.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside what can happen. I am excited for the build to All Out and AEW Grand Slam 2, which I will be attending. Can't wait for that.
Very cool that you're going to be going to that. Hopefully one day AEW will come to Denver, but, you know,
Until then, I will be your live correspondent. You know, hopefully I get to see what Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson wrestle again live. What a treat.
Oh, man.
You know?
I hope.
I just remember last year when I got those tickets, I was like, and I don't even think the card was even announced yet. And then that was like, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. A 30-minute draw.
It was like first match.
Or a one-hour draw.
Or whatever. Yeah. Oh, God.
Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. Like, literally one of the best matches in wrestling history. I don't care what anyone says. They want to put their Ric Flairs and their Steamboats. I'm like, okay, yeah. Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam is up there.
I mean, I also saw some reports that Kenny Omega is returning soon.
I hope so. I hope he's
feeling good. I mean, maybe that'll be the Hangman feud. Yeah.
That would be something.
That would be
anything
something.
Anything that Omega touches gets better, you know? So, but...
We'll see.
Man, I like feel bad for Hangman that he's that good in the ring and he can drop an impassioned promo, but I mean, just say... does he feel bad? He's like, I'm trying to elevate the Dark Order. Like, you're failing. You are not elevating the Dark Order. They are dragging you down into the mud that is under an ocean. Like, you are drowning and drowning. You are dying. Like, the Dark Order should be like, you have to get Hangman away from us because we are ruining him.
Like, well,
if they cared about him as a human... You know, like, out of storyline, like, these people as humans interacting backstage, they'd be like, get Tony, you have to get Hangman away from us because we are ruining him. I watched Dynamite the last 3 weeks, and we're ruining this man, and it's fucked up and selfish.
Well, now that I've had some time to think about it, in my fantasy, I want to see Johnny Hungy eat a buckshot lariat, you know? But I also want it to mean something. But maybe this is the road for it to mean something. The thing that I'm always complaining about is, like, you can't just have Hangman, Buckshot, Johnny Hungy. I mean, you can, but I'm just saying, like, out of nowhere from being separated from the Dark Order for so long. But, you know, why don't you put them together for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and then, by All Out, it's Adam Page versus Evil Uno for, you know?
Adam Page versus -1 at All Out.
That's what I want. That's actually... the best matchup on the roster right now.
Dude,
actually.
Throw that. Make that the main event. I want to see -1 eat a dead eye through a barbed wire table.
Someday soon, you know? But,
no, like this year. I don't want to wait till this kid's 19.
Oh, I see.
Now. Yeah. It's not interesting when he's 19. It's only interesting when he's a child. Danger.
Well, anyway, you want to jump into some WWE talk this week?
Yeah, I guess. No,
I got
some.
There's a couple of things on SmackDown that I kind of want to ask you about. Obviously, like, if you got nothing, I wanted to know your thoughts on the Pat McAfee Baron Corbin feud.
What strange direction to go? No, I know about this. I know things. What a strange direction to go. This guy went from feuding with Vince McMahon to now feuding with Baron Corbin. I mean,
also, you know, Baron Corbin, like, off screen. You know, it's like never shown. It's always like after the show ends, like after the pay per view. Like,
yeah, why are they doing it like that? What are they trying to do?
I have no idea. But, you know, the thing is,
you know,
like,
what I would be super interested in, though? Because Baron Corbin has had a pretty interesting life. He's like a professional football player, Golden Gloves champion.
Used to be roommates with Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee and got in a lot of trouble backstage. The reason why he had a failed Money in the Bank cash-in is because there was a concussion doctor backstage giving, like, false information to the wrestlers, and Baron Corbin was like, you're lying, that's bullshit, he's lying to you, that's bullshit, to, like, all of the wrestlers, like, in front of him, and they're like, cool, failed Money in the Bank cash in, you're getting washed by Jinder Mahal or whoever, you know? And so he's had, like, an interesting life, because he knew about, you know, concussions from his football and boxing career. This guy's been taking shots to the head his whole life.
For sure.
I would love for him to go on Pat McAfee's podcast and they could build up the feud there also. You know, do like 45 minutes of actual interview or an hour of actual interview and then like 10 minutes of just like pure feud. Would love that. Would love that.
I mean, that's the thing is like Baron Corbin is so good on the mic. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I fucking pop so much whenever he cuts a promo on somebody. Whenever he's dumping on somebody, I laugh my ass off, always. And Pat McAfee,
I think you and Vince both, because Vince loves that guy.
We're the biggest Happy Corbin fans, you know? It's just me and Vince.
He's probably in, like, Gorilla, just, like, laughing at everything he says, and people are just, like, looking at him. But, hey, I'm with you, man. I've always been a Corbin fan.
Yeah, and like you said, he's a shoot boxer, and it's, like, Pat McAfee, like, they have the story there. Like, why, whether or not they're just saving it for, like, the last... Well, no. SummerSlam's literally next weekend, right?
Yeah, literally I thought next it was weekend. This weekend, so it's, like, 10 days from now.
I think so. But it's, like...
Crazy.
This could have been an actual match, but all you need is one good promo, or, like, you know, two good promos, I guess you could say. Maybe this week and next week they'll finally turn it up a little bit. But it's, like, it could be something good. It could be something, like, Miz and Logan level. But it has been very, very strange. I mean, apparently Corbin has monkeypox, and that's why he couldn't go to the ring. I don't really know. Oh, it's probably just I think that's a work thing. That's a work. But
sex Corbin new gimmick. I hope so.
The next thing that I want to ask. I mean, we'll see. Ronda versus Liv at SummerSlam is announced. Do you have any thoughts of where that could go? Do you think Ronda, this is where she turns heel
and then
takes the title back? I'm not entirely sure yet, but
I really hope that, well, she should turn heel because she's going to be a heel no matter what. So she should come back.
Especially against Liv.
Yeah, she should come back a few weeks early and say some messed up stuff to Liv and, you know, lean into being a heel because she's going to get booed, so she might as well earn it. Or she's going to get her feelings really hurt when she comes back and is hated for no reason, quote unquote. What else? I really hope they do not put the title back on Ronda. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. That's not even like, you know, heat. That's real change
the channel
heat.
That's
real change the channel heat. That's like, she doesn't, like, Ronda doesn't want that. Nobody backstage wants that. Nobody watching wants that. Like, come on. Come on.
That's true. And, you know, no Liv fun. is a solid promo. She's making a great underdog. This is also a good example of a better babyface champion than Thunder Rosa. It's like, you can kind of do it. You just have to actually have them on TV wrestling and cutting promos. That's basically it. You know, 101.
Yeah. They should just put a stipulation, like, give her a fluke victory, or put a stipulation so she can use, like, a kendo stick or something.
Yeah. The next thing I want to say is, have you seen anything on Gunther, on his new gimmick of just chopping Ludwig Kaiser every week?
I've seen a little bit on it. It's weird. Why is he doing that? Are they going to break him up, or?
No, he's just, I think they just want to get his chops over, and the gimmick that pops Vince is him chopping his, like, you know, manager.
Oh my god.
And then Ludwig just has to eat chops over and over again.
God, yeah, fine, poor, you know? Ludwig. Yeah. Whatever. Hey, if it gets Gunther over, and if it keeps Ludwig on TV, because he's awesome. He's a great promo. I think he looks amazing as his manager. So keep it rolling. Keep them together.
Yeah. I'm with him. And I don't know if you've been able to catch up on any of the Maximum Male Model stuff, but I did watch, there was a video package this week that, on, what is it? I can't remember how he pronounces it. Mace has a new pronunciation, Mansoir, yes, instead of Mansoor. Or something. But anyway, Maxine Dupri, his sister, debuts next week. Any thoughts on who that could be?
Oh, man.
So they're going to add somebody else to this. I don't really know where...
Bailey!
Whoa. If Bailey comes back, that'll be huge for this.
Bailey! Dude, it's Bailey!
You think so?
Maybe. She needs a new gimmick. You know? She's been off TV for so long.
But they just change her name to Maxine Dupri and make her you know, Max Dupree's sister.
Yeah, but they can just turn her back to Bayley whenever the fuck they want.
Four horsewomen, former women's champion, is now.
Dude, nothing parted. Matters. I mean, it,
we'll see.
Look, 99.999% chance it won't be Bayley, but on that 0.00001% chance it's Bayley, that's gonna be awesome. It'd be so funny.
I really hope it's not like Mandy Rose. Just you know, for some, because like I'm like Gigi Dolan. Or something like that. I don't really know. But
Who haven't you seen on NXT for a little bit?
I haven't seen anybody.
Oh, on NXT it for a could bit. Be the
Io Shirai.
No, Indy Hartwell. Is that her name?
Oh, that could be something. That could be something, definitely. Indy Hartwell. Definitely be Indy Hartwell. Could be.
She was the one in the repackaged. Way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could definitely be repackaged.
I think it could definitely be Indy Hartwell. She already got an accent, you know? Makes sense.
Apparently, you can submit your applications, though, to MaximumMaleModels.com. I do believe that is a thing. Yeah, but
they're just going to make fun of me. I don't want to get made fun of by Max Dupree.
No, you could show up on SmackDown, you know, next week. You never know.
Oh, my God.
This podcast will be a long afterthought because you'll be on the road, you know? but, yeah, there was a Theory Madcap Moss match on SmackDown. I think it is cool, though, that Theory is on both shows. And I think that the more that they're actually having all the stars just cross promote each other's brands, that's always like a good thing.
Really? Because I was talking to Tony Khan and he was like, the way I get my women over is by having them appear like once every 3 weeks, and then it makes you really clamor for them. You know, you're like salivating, like, when am I going to see Thunder Rosa again or Chris Statlander? It's been 6 months and they're not injured.
So, you know, I tend to forget instead of, you know, salivate for them or whatever. What is it?
Yeah, you and everybody else.
The
so much content.
The only thing that happened on SmackDown at the end was when they announced the special guest referee for Jeff the SummerSlam tag team match. Double J.
The real J-E, forbidden
door. Double F. J A. Double R. E. Double T E. Can't remember how to spell his name, but I was popping when Pat McAfee was trying to get all that stuff in. I didn't really know who it could have been, but the fact that they're playing up the Nashville thing, it's fine. It's only over because the Usos and Street Profits are putting it over, you know?
Yeah, it could have been anybody, but nobody expected it to be Jeff Jarrett.
Yes,
nobody I think expected it.
Pat McAfee was just like, nobody who, when they woke up today, like, could have said that they thought it was going to be Jeff Jarrett. And he's just like, going, J,
well
E, double F. All right, we can jump into
J, A, double R, E, double T.
Something like that.
So that, he's doing that. SummerSlam weekend. And he's having a tag match, him and Jay Lethal, versus Ric Flair and Andrade in Ric Flair's final match ever, his retirement match. And that means that Jeff Jarrett is the true Forbidden Door.
Always has been. You know, remember GCW?
Yeah. I mean, he has, or what is it, GCW? Global Force?
Global Force.
Yeah, it was like Force
Wrestling. GFW, sorry.
Yeah. Because GCW is what's his face is
Moxley, this is the champ.
Yeah, but also that like badass like bare knuckle boxers who was like an MMA guy, can never remember his name and he never showed up.
You talking about Bloodsport or are you talking about something else?
I am talking about Bloodsport.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But yeah. Anyway, Ron Tampa.
I do not want to get into a fight with that guy. That guy versus Jonathan Gresham.
Titus O'Neil, the new WWE Global Ambassador.
Oh my God, we gotta get into this. He's like, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about whose CEO is touching who.
We just want good times, you know? It smiles on people's faces. You know?
Somebody pointed out that Titus O'Neil got like fired or got like suspended for like touching Vince one time. He was like, "Hey, what's up, buddy?" and like touched him on the shoulder, and he's like suspended. Do you remember that? That was
vaguely.
In like 2017.
You know, talking about strange careers, Titus O'Neil is one of them. I mean, it was interesting that they opened up Raw with this announcement. I don't know why they needed to announce it, but hey, why not? You know, because he welcomed everybody to Monday Night Raw.
The CEO is being investigated by the Wall Street Journal for multiple different like sexual assaults and like NDAs.
You know? Well, when he welcomed me to Monday Night Raw, I got chills. So we can move on. Becky Lynch, big time, the Bex Express. I loved her promo, dude, on Raw. I think that, you know, she was reading her daughter that book, Little Engine That Could, and just was like, I'm going to fucking make a promo out of this. And she fucking did.
Probably.
And I'll say it again. Like, she's literally one of the best storytellers on the mic. And she's fucking over. And I am excited. You know, there was the Carmella versus Bianca rematch. I just love the chemistry, the promo, the story of Bianca and Becky. It's just such an easy story to tell. Like, and just saying that this isn't the Becky redemption arc, this is Bianca's from, you know, a year in the making, is perfect. I cannot
wait. Exactly why Becky has to win in less than 23 seconds.
No, they can't do it. Becky could win, but it can't be in less time.
It has to be.
It can't
be. It has to be. Dude, I was so mad when they did that last year, and now I'm like, you gotta. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to, you know, piss off a few marks, all right? This is what's best. This is what's best for Bianca. It's what's best for Becky.
It's so hard for me to... Because, like, here's, like, my thing is that this is such a perfect story, but what happens after? Like, Becky with the title, I feel like, is so stale to me. I feel like just going back to that same old well of, you know, whether it's the man or big time Bex or whatever she reinvents her character to next, like, I don't know if Raw is the right place for her. Maybe she belongs on SmackDown for a little bit. But even with
there's
Bianca,
plenty of women for her to face, and she just has to run. The story is just running away from Bianca. That's what it is. And you can turn it into a real blood feud.
I mean, they could. You think they can run it back again? Yeah, like, they can stretch it out again.
Yeah,
from SummerSlam to WrestleMania again.
You can get Montez and Seth involved, especially if Montez goes singles. And it could be really good. You know?
Yeah, it's true. I think I'm on board. I think I can get behind that. You know, especially if...
But you gotta do it faster. You need to give her more ammo. Be like, I got your number. You just can't beat me. Bring back Bailey. Throw her on Raw. You know? Pay whatever it takes to get Sasha back. You know?
I don't know. We might not have enough time for that.
I know. Really. Maybe. But bring some women up from NXT to feed to both of them. Get them away from each other. Dude, draft Bianca to SmackDown.
They could. There's the, like, I don't know when the draft is going to be or anything like that, but I definitely think that they need, like, Becky and Bianca definitely could run it back, but I just don't know if how many more times they could keep going to that well before it starts losing a little bit of its, you know, shine, specialness.
And then she's like, I have to win. She's like, I have to get back at Becky, and the only way to do that is to unite the titles. And then you start a unification journey, you know, where Bianca's like, I have to unify all of China, you know, and I have to crush all the six states of Becky Lynch, you know, to create peace in this world.
Sounds beautiful.
I'm mixing things up.
You know? But anyway.
I was rereading Kingdom this morning before I got out of bed.
We'll see where this goes at SummerSlam. But Kevin Owens returns on Monday Night Raw. Any thoughts on his return on what it could be? Because it kind of just was what it was.
I'm happy to have him back, but it
he looks
like
cut, though. I don't know if you noticed that. He looks like a little bit more ready. You know, he's got a new t-shirt, and I think it was...
Kevin Owens has a new t-shirt? That's pretty rare.
I mean, this one is like... One of his last t-shirts on the indies was like his, I don't know if it was like a WWF, like a wildlife fund. It was like a panda shirt that was like in collaboration with a zoo, and I wanted it so bad. But now he just came out with another one. Anyway, the point is, he's looking more cut now. And I do remember when they put on that video package at the last pay-per-view, I was like, we had a kind of a light discussion of like, what could they be preparing him for? Like something big, like a bigger spot in the future. But, you know, it is interesting that they're now running back his feud. Well, not really a feud, but his, like, problems with Seth. You know, how, like, they're not best friends anymore and whatever all that stuff is with Riddle. But, yeah, like, who do you think KO could be involved with next?
If he main evented WrestleMania against Stone Cold this year, then it stands to reason that next year he should main event WrestleMania against The Rock, right?
Possibly, but then that's such so far away. It's like, what does he do until then? You know, like, where does he
maybe
even fit
he works this? The Rock at like SummerSlam or Survivor Series to get The Rock ready for Roman.
Oh, maybe that would be pretty incredible, though. That would be insane. I mean, I know how and much he loves The Rock, you know. So it's like,
yeah, they have a bull.
Yeah, the matching fight. Bull tattoo
on a pole match.
I haven't seen The Rock wrestle in so long. I bet he looks so different. But anyway. That bull tattoo does not look the same anymore. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I know. He got it all covered up. He's like, this is from when I was a boy. I'm a man now. It's just like his entire arm is one, like, bull skull. I'm like, okay, guy. Like, take it easy.
Yeah.
You know? Does everything have to look so cool? It's okay to have a bad tattoo. You are who you are.
Yeah. Speaking of bad tattoos, maybe not. I don't know. The Judgment Day segment, you know, Damian
versus Ray. They are a walking
Ray.
Bad tattoo, so yes, well put. Damian Priest is like a living bad tattoo.
Yeah, any thoughts on this match, or, you know, them trying to poach your favorite wrestler, Dominic Mysterio?
It felt so pointless for Dominic to be like, I'll join, and they're just like, well, it doesn't work like that. And then they just hit him. I'm like, oh, what a waste of time to anybody who put any amount of effort investing into this. Luckily, I did not put any amount of effort investing into this. Then they did like two backstage segments throughout the night where Damian's like, yeah, we knew that when you said that you were joining us, it was just to protect your dad. Like, yeah, so did anybody that watched that segment. That's what that segment was. Like, why are you explaining this? Like, what do you think you're smart saying this out loud? Like, why are you over explaining every? And then in the next segment, Dominic is like, did you really think that I was gonna join? I was just trying to protect my dad. I'm like, what are you, why are you all saying the same thing? It all made perfect sense in the ring. Like, that's what context is. Like, that was like storytelling, and then you're just like retelling the story in like dumber words twice. It was so stupid. It was like this. God.
What do you think is going to happen next week at Ray's?
I don't care.
20th anniversary. You know?
Rey Mysterio is going to have a barbecue backstage, and Montez is going to say a bunch of cool things, and Otis is going to eat a lot of food. Genuinely. That's what 20th anniversaries are like. And
that's true.
The Judgment Day is going to crash it, and they're going to be like, we're bad, cake to your face, bad guys out.
Do you think that Dominic will join or can benefit from joining?
Man, I think all of them would benefit from something happening instead of weeks of nothing happening.
Yeah, that's
maybe,
true.
Maybe Dominic already joined, and we're just getting worked, but God... That does not explain the over-explanation. It was so bad and so annoying. I was like, wow, this is, like, really geared to four-year-olds, and I feel dumber for watching it, and I feel embarrassed for watching it.
I mean, yeah, it definitely had some sort of interest with me when, obviously, Finn was the leader, but it's kind of just went in circles. It's kind of, like, not enough to make us care for anything. But I don't know. Unless for some reason the Judgment Day and Dominic beat up Ray next week, that could be something. Maybe it's not going to be the best or anything good, but that could be definitely something, you know?
Yeah, they should bring back Bray and then, like, sacrifice Ray in, like, a pagan ritual.
I see.
That would be interesting.
In Madison Square Garden.
Yeah!
And then that's the show I don't go to. It's like, oh, I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, dude.
Ray got his head taken off.
Blood sacrifice. Yeah, in the middle of the ring. That would be awesome. Kids are crying. It's TV 14.
TV 14.
They haven't executed on anything yet, but it would be great to see like Ray get like live executed in like the middle of the ring. You know, just to get Dominic over. He's like, I tried everything to get my son over, okay. But nothing is working. I must die for the blood gods in the middle of the ring. That's what we need.
Oh, hold on. Okay, well, anyway, we'll see what happens. Theory versus AJ. Any thoughts on that?
No.
No,
it's
nothing?
Just it's
what
just
about Dolphy Michaels?
Oh my god, you know? I mean, just like the cleanest super kicks ever. They were so funny. Like, the ref looks away for a second, he just super kicks Theory.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What are your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, I think I'm slowly kind of... I know you said it kind of last week where it's like he teams up with Theory. I don't know if it's because that was planted in my mind. I was like, maybe that's the direction that they're going in. Is that he's like the mentor, the you know, jobber mentor that he... But it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, Dolph is just so not that kind of person for him. I think it was also on Masked Man Show where they connected it to, like, Mr. Perfect in a suit being a manager. And, like, this is, like, his era for him and this late part of his career. But, like, I don't think Theory needs it. Like, Theory is so good. Like, he's so good on the mic. He's great in the ring. He's got feuds with fucking Madcap, with Bobby, with Roman, with Brock, like, and, you know, Dolphy Michaels. But, like, does he need him by his side? Like,
he's,
I think he can talk just fine.
He's feuding with, like, half the roster. It's crazy. With AJ, like, what?
Yeah.
He's feuding with everybody. No, he doesn't need it. But that's the thing with Theory. They're throwing everything at him. Everything possible.
The Theory Project, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, hey, whatever. It's working.
But yes, with that being said, those super kicks were clean. Clean as hell. Yeah. You know?
I really liked it. Next was like the shortest women's match ever. Who was it? Alexa and Asuka versus Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. again?
Yeah, but there was the 24/7 nonsense, you know?
I don't even have time. Who's this for?
Well, there was... Tozawa was the new champion, and then Nikki A.S.H., and then Alexa won it, and then Doudrop won it, then Tamina won it, and then Dana Brooke won it back, and then ran out.
Oh. Okay.
So that's what you missed.
Okay, that's fine. Main event. Logan Paul.
I mean, well-deserved, I think. You know, Miz TV with Logan Paul.
That's got a main event.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to main event, but it was a great main event for this Raw. I mean, I thought it was a great promo by Logan. Because, like, you know, we were talking about the last couple of weeks, it's like whether or not he could actually be a babyface or not, you know, against The Miz. But I feel like in this promo and the way that Miz is just such a professional, you know, in terms of just, like, plugging everything while still getting everybody over... I think it's, like, beautiful, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he sold it really well, both of them. He sold being a babyface, Logan Paul did, and Miz sold being a heel, as always, so... I liked it. I forgot that Miz turned on him at WrestleMania, so... Logan Paul does have motivation in canon, other than just wanting to be cheered, which I really liked. And,
oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm excited for it, you know? It was good stuff. It was,
yeah,
enjoyable
that was perfect.
To watch.
I mean, there was the freaking... They ran the Tiny Balls gimmick, which is hilarious with the new t-shirt and everything, you know?
Yeah, he has massive balls per the t-shirt, you know? That's WWE canon right there.
Yeah, and I think freaking, you know, Logan Paul looked... I mean, he only did a takedown and a clothesline, but I could already see him winning the Royal Rumble, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his forearms are fucking jacked. This dude is yoked. Yoked, I said.
And like you said, Ciampa's in the main event of Raw, you know? It's a win-win for everybody, some would say. I mean, it got us to where we got, you know, like, for as simple as the story was, I'm just glad that the way that it panned out. And Logan Paul is so much better on the mic than so many of these guys in the business right now. So it's hilarious. Hilarious. He's just a natural. He's the next world champion.
He is. And we'll see him next week on Impulsive TV.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very excited for that.
But, you know, that kind of wraps up the week of wrestling. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Nope. I mean, oh, I'm excited for Rampage just to see the rap battle between Max Caster and Austin Gunn. That should have been on Dynamite. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Also, do you have any... there was a new Edge... I think it was Edge. You know, that video package thing?
Yeah. With all, it's like, definitely looking more and more like Edge's. You can see the outline of the body.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, with more blood and clocks and Ray's mask and an urn this time. And it says, like, number one, when do you think this person / Edge is going to
MSG
show up? You think so? Next week?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be tied to Ray in his 20th anniversary? Do you think he's going to come
and
out
Judgment
with...
Judgment Day.
The Rob Zombie song. I don't know if you were around for that when it was Never Gonna Stop Me. Oh, that was peak
Edge. No, I wasn't. But yeah, I think he'll come back during Ray's segment with the Judgment Day next week.
So as a babyface?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, guess we'll see. But yeah, anything else you want to touch on?
That's just what I think will happen. So if you want to see Edge come back with this Rob Zombie song that is peak, then you should go to MSG next week, you know?
Anyway, you can catch
right
me.
Right there, just go.
You can catch me on Instagram and TikTok. What is it again? Oh, Five Borough Foodie, the number five. What about you, bud?
I have no personal plugs. I have nothing going on. But you can catch us on TikTok at Illegal Tactics Podcast, and soon on Instagram, which I think will have a much better following for wrestling fans, which will also be Illegal Tactics Podcast. And soon on Patreon, you can get all of our thoughts on barbed wire everywhere matches and, you know, why the Judgment Day is literally a Walking Bad tattoo and what Edge is going to be doing next week when he comes back at, what's it called? Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, Ray's 20th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, the but backstage for real, yeah. Segment, the party, the barbecue.
Yeah.
We won't even see Ray next week.
But we'll see what happens. You know, push Darby Allin. That is what I'll say.
Push all the pillars and fix whatever the hell you're doing with Jungle Boy. I hope Tony Khan got flamed because all he listens to is internet hate. So I hope the internet came at him hard and was like, what are you doing? You idiot. Whatever.
But we'll find out next week, you know, possibly in Fight for the Fallen or something else. But I will catch you on the next one, bud.
Peace out, buddy. Talk to you soon.